today on Being Disciples, Trinity, Part 5, New Year, New Beginnings. Salvation is the beginning of a new life in Christ Jesus. How real is it to us? How real should it be?
Welcome to the Being Disciples podcast with Pastor John. All notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us. This is a weekly podcast published every Monday that is meant to help believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ to mature in their faith. These principles should be useful to anyone who listens, but especially for the believers who are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You're invited on this journey to explore what it means to be a disciple. Let's begin by joining Pastor John with an opening prayer. Pastor John?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for so great a love that you have for us, that you sent your only begotten Son to redeem us and to restore us into a right relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, that for the joy set before you, you were willing to leave the majesty of heaven to come into this world, your creation, to redeem us and to restore us into a loving relationship with the Father. Thank you for laying down your life for us, both in the living of it and in the dying. In life, you showed us how we ought to live in intimacy with the Father, following the leading of Holy Spirit and loving one another. In death, you gave your body for us, bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions. You were beaten, battered, and bloodied, even pierced to the shedding of your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Now we ask you to give us the words to say and to open our ears and hearts to hear what you would say to us. Please bless all who join us today and all who hear this message on a recording. Amen.
Welcome to episode 40. This is the fifth and final part of our Trinity series, New Year, New Beginnings. Today is January 2nd, 2023. Yesterday was the beginning of a new year, a new month, a new week, and a new day, at least according to the calendar we use today. New beginnings are filled with things to explore and learn about, and can often be times of excitement. Think of a new job, a new car, a new living space, or anything like that. There is often a certain excitement and anticipation of what is to come. The same with a new relationship, a marriage, etc. Well, the same is true for our new birth, our spiritual birth, through which we access the kingdom of God and eternal life. There is a lot to it that we have no clue of as we embark upon the journey. As we conclude the series on the Holy Trinity, we will apply what we have learned so far to a framework of how the Trinity interacts with one another and with us. Access and understanding of these things only come to those who are born again. Last time, we considered why a Savior was necessary. In the first part of this series, we considered the relationship we can have with Christ Jesus. But what of this salvation? What does it mean to be born again? There is a story of a Pharisee named Nicodemus who sought Jesus, believing Jesus was sent by God. Sometimes it is our curiosity that the Father uses to draw us to the Son. As we have discovered, no one can come to salvation in Christ unless the Father draws him or her to the Son. The story of Nicodemus is in the Gospel according to John, chapter 3. Being a Pharisee, a religious leader of the day, he went to Jesus under the cover of darkness. Though the Father was drawing him, he did not yet know who he was dealing with and kept his behavior quiet. We read in John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" A little side note here. Did you notice that Nicodemus said, "We know"? This leads me to believe that at least some of the other Pharisees thought the same things as he did. If it was just him, Nicodemus would have said something like, "I know," or "I believe," not "we." In verse 3, Jesus goes straight to the heart of the matter, spiritual birth. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I remember a movement in the 70s that involved the phrase "born again," complete with bumper stickers. Back when I was in the Catholic religion, and many believed the movement was crazies and a part of the cult. Because it challenged some religious beliefs, people would not hear that these were the words of Jesus. I believe religion is used by the enemy to segregate us into groups, keeping us at odds with one another. Politics and religion, the great dividers. It wasn't much different back then, as Nicodemus was crossing one of those lines by even going to have a conversation with Jesus on a personal level. When Jesus told Nicodemus that one must be born again, Nicodemus immediately thought of a physical birthing process, not realizing Jesus was referring to the spirit of man being brought to life and to full awareness, which was lost at the fall of man due to sin entering into the world. Adam did surely die in that instance, and physical death entered into the world as well. In John chapter 3, verses 4 and 6, we read, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Christ Jesus, the Son, tells us how we can enter the kingdom of heaven. We must be born again. The spirit of a person must be brought to life by Holy Spirit. This is done through believing Jesus is the Son of God, sent by the Father to save us from the penalty due to us for our sinfulness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, the famous John 3:16 verse. But we need to believe in the Son to receive eternal life. So we see that Christ Jesus, our Savior, instructs us in spiritual birth, that through belief in him and the work of Holy Spirit giving life to our spirit, we can enter the kingdom of God and receive eternal life as well as access to the Father. The interesting aspect of this process is the interaction of the Holy Trinity with us, which begins without us even realizing what's going on. For Nicodemus, it appears to be the curiosity that opened the door for the process to proceed. The process began with the Father drawing him to the Son. Remember, Jesus told us in John chapter 6, verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Now, Peter the Apostle affirms this in his first epistle, 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through the faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Our call to salvation originates with the Father, bringing us to the Son, working by the power of God and the Holy Spirit. In those verses, Peter states, first, that the Father caused us to be born again, then that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and then he tells us that with an inheritance kept for us in heaven, and finally, the believer is being guarded by God's power through faith. Our salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter goes on to state in that letter concerning our behavior as believers of loving one another, in verses 23 through 25 of chapter 1, "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you." So Peter compares the perishability of the flesh to the imperishability of God. Salvation and being born again includes the awakening of our spirit through the truth of the word of God. Peter is referring to the gospel, the good news that is shared with people. We have also looked previously at Jesus being the word of God. We saw in John 6 that the Father must draw us to the Son. Interestingly, in John 14, we see Jesus telling Thomas that no one can get to the Father except through himself. John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I see that as an interesting dynamic. We like to dissect the Trinity into the three individual members, but it seems there isn't a time when they aren't working as one. I refer back to the third part in this study, Holy Spirit Leading, where I presented a view of the Trinity as I see it. In that study, I wrote, "I believe that one function of Holy Spirit is to make certain that the Scripture is fulfilled, that the Word of God is successful in doing what it is intended to do. Like any analogy to the Holy Trinity falls short at some point, my view of the Trinity may fall short as well, But I do believe there is a pattern I see in Scripture that mirrors the verses above concerning creation. I view the Holy Trinity as this: the Father of whom, the Son through whom, the Holy Spirit by whom. That is in podcast episode 37, if you want to check it out. And there, that was referring to the story of creation, where the Trinity acted in concert. Here we're looking at the rebirth. It's not a new creation of such that we see it, but it is the idea of us becoming a new creation in Christ, the reborn spirit, the new birth. I believe that Holy Spirit opens our heart to the Word of God so we can have the faith necessary to receive the Word, leading to our salvation. This matter of salvation is wholly based upon faith. Any works or action on our part comes after the faith as a confirmation of the faith we profess to have. The Apostle Paul deals with this topic in chapter 3 of his letter to the believers at Galatia. He begins by asking questions that he knows they know the answer to. For example, in Galatians 3, chapter 2, "Let me ask you only this, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" And then in verse 5, "Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Paul goes on to teach that the righteous shall live by faith. The law and our works have a purpose, but they do not gain our salvation, which is a gift of God. He taught this very thing in his letter to the believers at Ephesus. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, he writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Paul writes of that faith to the believers at Rome in Romans 10, verse 17. "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." The gospel, the good news that was shared by Christ Jesus, that which he also sent out through the 70 disciples to the surrounding towns and villages, and that he also sent out through his disciples in the Great Commission before his ascension to heaven. Those same words of promise and hope, that is what Holy Spirit uses to produce the faith to believe. Paul tells us in that same portion of the letter to Rome how we receive that gift of salvation. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 13, we read, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." We cannot do it on our own. We need faith. We need Holy Spirit. We need the Father to draw us, sending Holy Spirit to produce the faith within us. The author of the letter of Hebrews tells us faith is necessary. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it states, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him." One reward, the greatest reward, is our salvation, through which God gives us eternal life. So we see a process, and we see the Trinity. The Holy Trinity interacts with one another as they work out their plan of salvation, bringing us back into that loving relationship for which we were originally created. The Father draws us to the Son, Spirit to Spirit. Holy Spirit causes us to have faith to believe the gospel, the good news we hear, the Word of God. So someone preached the good news, we heard the good news, and we believe the good news. That faith produced in us by the Holy Spirit enabled us to believe. Believing in our heart, we were empowered to confess with our tongue that Christ Jesus is Lord. And by Christ, our Savior, we have access to the Father, and we receive the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. It is from this point that our works confirm our faith and our salvation in Christ Jesus, by whom we may go unto the Father through the power of Holy Spirit working in us. So we see that, just as in our creation, our salvation is by the Holy Trinity, the Father of whom, the Son by whom, and the Holy Spirit through whom. It is all because Jesus went to the cross and suffered and died for our sake, which also is the plan of God, the Holy Trinity. As with any new beginning, including being born again, there is much to explore and learn. There are many interactions with God that are only available to those who have been born again. Here's a few of them. With Jesus, for example, he is our Savior, our Lord, our Bridegroom. He says he will never leave us. He abides with us. We are seated with him. We are brethren. We are joint heirs. We use his name, the authority of his name. He intercedes for us, and he is our model whom we mimic. The Father, he is Abba, Abba, Father. He abides with us. We have access to his throne. We can pray directly to him. We have intimacy and relationship with him. He gave us the right to be a child of God. Then there's the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. We are his temple. He is our teacher, our counselor, our guide. He gives the spiritual gifts to us. He intercedes for us, and he matures us in our growth to be more like Christ. And once we've received this faith, Paul tells us, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 to 21, how we ought to look at one another. He says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We are indeed filled with aspects of the Godhead and with each member of the Holy Trinity as needed as we co-labor with Christ for the sake of the kingdom of God. So we're going to stop here and we'll have Garrett refresh us with where you can find the study notes and a couple of reminders.
Let's take just a moment to remind you that all notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, it's virtualstudywith.us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study.
Well, thanks for the reminder, Garrett. Here we are between snowstorms, looking at the new year. Any good plans for New Year's Eve?
You know, I think me and the fiance are going to lay low and take it easy. I did tempt her with going dancing, but there's a lot of things happening down here in the small town America. But being with somebody who has a disability of cerebral palsy and other issues along with that, it's hard to find things she can do that she's not allergic to or can actually do and have fun. So we talked about it and said, we're going to just sit and do movie night.
And as people can probably tell in my voice, I've been down with the cold for the past week here, and we postponed our family Christmas stuff till New Year's Day, so we're going to lay low as well and just enjoy some family here on Sunday.
Well, and I know you were working pretty hard during the snowstorms here, so you need a little rest. It's okay to do that.
Rest is always good. Kind of leads us into our teaching this week, which was New Year, New Beginnings, and the thought was, people do the annual traditional, here's my motivation for the coming year, here's what I want to accomplish, what they're called, the New Year's resolutions types thing, you know.
There you go, New Year's resolutions. Yeah, I have a hard time with those.
But like anything new, there's something to be looked at and something to explore, and kind of got to wonder after 22 what 23 is going to be like, but we'll find out soon enough.
So yeah, we will.
The interesting parallel that I was looking at is we've been talking about the Trinity and salvation and following Christ and being disciples, but we never really got into much about when our life actually changes at our salvation. It is a new beginning. It is totally new, the way we look at things, the way we do things. Everything about our life truly does change if we've really surrendered to the Lord.
Yes. Yes, it does.
So I told you the verse I ended with, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21 was a little bit lengthy there, six verses. I can do math.
Mathematics.
What I also told you was I was going to be starting a study on this, just kind of personally. I believe this is what Paul tells us about seeing fellow believers. I'm going to try to describe this a little bit so that those who are listening can kind of get a visual on it. So here the verse begins, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh," and it goes on from there. What I do is I break it down into phrases. So phrase one, "from now on," then the second word, "therefore," then another phrase, "we regard no one according to the flesh." And so I break things down into those phrases, and then I start looking at each one. So for example, I'd look at "from now on." Well, what does that mean? From when? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's Paul talking about from now on? And he's talking about since we've come to this salvation and we're believers. So now that that's happened, from now on,
is going,
we don't regard one another according to the flesh.
And that's going forward from the point of your salvation, correct?
Correct. I believe that's right. What he's talking about. I'd have to open up to see the whole context of chapter 5 there, but I believe that's what he's after.
Okay.
But then the next word is therefore. And one thing I learned long ago, and it's just a catchy little thing that everybody talks about, when you see the word therefore, you have to see what the therefore is there for. What's it referring to?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right before the therefore, we see from now on, therefore. Since, it basically means since we're acting this way, since we've become believers from now on, and then goes into this next idea, that we regard no one according to the flesh. Okay, we regard, what does that mean? We regard. It talks about our perception of things. And no one I put separate, just because you can ask the question, who does that include? Well, you have everyone and you have no one.
Mm-hmm.
We're not looking at any fellow believer in the next phrase, according to the flesh. So then we get back into some of the studies we've done before. What is it to be in the flesh? And what is it to be in the spirit in these things? But there were a couple of verses here that kind of even took me with an aha moment. So when he says, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we no longer regard him that way. So it's like, when I think about Christ, what am I looking at? Am I looking at the Christ of the Gospels and regarding him when he was here in the flesh? Yeah. Or am I looking at him as after the resurrection, his ascension into heaven, being seated at the throne of God? There's quite a different picture of him painted in Revelation than there is in the Gospels.
Oh, by far.
So then he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Okay, do we really disciple people in believing that? It takes a lot for us to get over just looking at our own flesh and bones, our own skin, and saying, I'm a new creation. What?
And making it real and living in that and letting it saturate your entire being. Sometimes I feel it becomes one of these things we just kind of have taken for granted and we say, and then we don't really back it up with the actions, which is where we need people like you and I to be disciples or apprentices of Jesus, whatever you want to call it, because that's what we're supposed to be doing.
And evaluate our behavior, do a little inventory of ourselves and see how much our behavior really has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing you'd like to do to know if you're maturing, and New Year's is a good time to do it. Last year at New Year's, was I different than I am this year at New Year's? Has anything changed for the positive? Am I closer to God? Am I walking in more obedience? Am I still struggling with things, or have I gotten over things? You know, have I overcome things? Doing a little evaluation of our growth. And it's not something you can really do day to day. You got to do it kind of over a period of time to see that there's truly a change that's taken place.
Well, growth takes time.
And it's a big picture. And really having a faithful brother or sister in the Lord that can look at you and say, yes, you have changed. Or yes, this is different. And yes, this is better. Just like we need them to say, you need to work on this. This does need to change both ways, but the positive is just as important.
Oh, and having that person there to give you that accountability, good or bad account, you know, whatever they have to tell you, and then you being the person receiving it, being mindful of that the person who's talking to you with that information cares about you and really wants to help and go from there. And then if God's back behind it, there you go.
And then he goes on to say, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. How much are we really buying into that? That old lifestyle, those old habits, those things that we needed to be delivered from and overcome. Have truly passed away?
Yeah, because we have these moments where we give things to Christ and then we kind of slowly pull them back. He at some point says, go and sin no more, right? Well, are we that perfect? Well, we're not, but I want to walk as close to that perfection as I possibly can. And does that mean I'm never going to be wrong or I'm never going to sin? No. But if I'm making that choice in my head to begin with, that I'm going to keep one foot in the world and one foot in God, you can't do it. So this is some of the things that really fascinate me, is that you've got to submit. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect in this world, but I want to be as close to perfection, as close to walking with him every day as I possibly can. And that's what I want for anybody who comes into my life that I can disciple going forward, is the same thing. And let's live our best lives. And instead of just being focused on here and now and everything else, God has a bigger plan.
And this is also where the new life, new year, new beginnings kicks in, because we would like to pay attention to the first part of that. The old has passed away. What do we have to overcome? What can we get rid of? What's sinful in our life? What's holding us back? But the second part of that is just as important. Behold, the new has come. So realizing what is the new in my life? What is the new direction he's leading me? What is the new practice he's leading me in? What is the new ministry he has me doing? I know you're kind of experiencing into some of that these last few months, going after some of the healing teaching and a couple of people that are mentoring you into things and changing your attitudes and your beliefs and getting in tune with, this is what I was taught, but this is what the word says.
And you know what? It's, for me, the thought of letting it permeate my entire soul, I know it, got the head knowledge. It's just the hard part of really getting it in there and then throwing away the stuff that isn't biblical that's been thrown into us by different teachers and different settings and whatnot. And then really picking the Bible and going, okay, this is what God has said. This is truth. It's like, it's that simple. Here you go. And that's what's amazing about God's word. But you also need to be able to renew your mind by going over the word too, which John was doing quite well there when he was breaking up those verses, because then you can actually, God opens your mind even more and teaches you through that study. And that's what he was doing. He's breaking it down to study. So once you get into the word, you can do that for yourself and move forward. And that's how God talks to me too, is when you're breaking these things down. It's amazing that he can do this and he has our best will. And there's no time like the present for either getting right or giving your life to Christ or recommitting or whatever you need to be doing. He's there. He doesn't ever walk away from you. It's always us walking away from him. So a new year, not that it has to be a new year to accept Christ or reconcile your relationship with him. That can be done at any time. But we're just looking at the new year and things that people do in regard to resolutions and whatnot. So it's pretty amazing.
And then to realize this isn't something that we just concocted or cooked up in our heart or our minds.
Oh, yeah.
The next verse talks about all this is from God. So it's from the Father. He says, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. So he came after us. He called us. He chose us. We had to respond appropriately. But once we did, he's the one that implanted this new stuff in our life. It says, all this is from God. So to receive that with graciousness, thanksgiving, and go about it with the right attitude is really important.
Oh, it's so true. We totally, I mean, I just keep going, okay, God's truth is truth, and it's that simple. Here it is. This is what he gives us. Let's not go further beyond what God has there for us, but let's get up there, learn it, and be there, and then keep growing in that. It's pretty amazing that his word, everything in the Bible is the truth that he gave us, and you can stand on that firmly and go for there. And that's my big prayer for everybody, is that the people who, for everybody who decides to follow Christ and needs it, you really got to take time out. One thing I've learned through this is that I have not been one that's been good at pulling out the Bible and breaking it down like John, you've been doing, which God has convicted me of more. So now I'm doing that and I'm learning more, which is enhancing my relationship, which people in my life have told me. I've seen a change. My mother has told me that. My dad has told me that. The way I talk has changed a little bit. Well, changed a lot, because I used to like to make people laugh using foul words or silly stories. Not that I'm completely perfect, but I am noticing this more and trying to change that and throw out the bad and be mindful and renew my mind with God's word, so that anytime these temptations come in, I can capture them, throw them out, and move forward. And he gives us that ability. And once you've given your life to Christ and you really are following, you really don't want to chase sin anymore. I'm having more fun chasing him, living life, and helping other people get through life than I ever have. And that's the part that keeps me moving forward and keeps me out of some of the prior temptations I've had in my life.
So just a comment on that side note about studying. The reason we have the website Virtual Study With Us, virtualstudywith.us, is so that you can take these notes, use them as a jump off point to further and deepen your own study. One thing, as any preacher would know, to preach a sermon or a teacher would know to teach a lesson, what's presented to you, the listener, or to a class or to a congregation is usually less than 20% of what's been studied. So put your arms as wide as you can. And that's how much study has been done. Bring them back into shoulder level, and that's how much is presented. There is a lot more studied than presented. So studying on your own, you will go a much farther way than listening to what's presented. And you have to dig in and do that.
And that's just it. I go back to, who was it that we had on that talked about the pew potato? I don't want to be a Colin. Cute potato. Colin, that was a great one. That's where my biggest thing is that why wasn't I moving further faster? Well, now I'm realizing I could have been, but God has me learning this and he will reveal things to you, not just from a preacher or from this podcast or from John or myself or whoever you're taking your religious wisdom from. He really wants you to get into the relationship. And the way you do that is reading his word and then talking with him. I call it praying, but more or less I have conversations with him. But then as you dissect his word. Yeah, communicating
is.
Yeah. It's like, like I've said, I have him in my co-pilot seat while I'm driving the car. Like my real father sitting there, I view him the same way. And then you have that conversation. But if you're not studying the word, and this is where I was lost for a long time, is that if you're not studying that word, you're really not getting everything he has available to you that he wants to tell you. You're basically saying, okay, God, I'm putting you on a shelf in my mind. And that's where I've really changed over this last year through these studies and through the things I'm learning now and what I'm supposed to do. And that's the cool part about what God has in store for living the Christian life is that he wants us to live abundantly. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be out there on the playing field, be in action, be in movement, pursuing the kingdom of God and sharing that.
And here's the real beautiful thing about this. It says that all this is from God. So it's a gift from God to us.
Mm-hmm.
Through Christ reconciled us to himself. He chose us to come and have this relationship with him. But the question is why? And stated in the rest of the sentence, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He wants us to come into the Father's business, to do the work, enter the company, the family company, as it were, to do what the Lord was doing, to reconcile us to the Father. He's given us the privilege of doing that as well, just as Christ did, to lead others into the same relationship with the Father that he had. Mm-hmm. So it's my honor, my privilege to put together this podcast or to meet with somebody on the street or to minister to those who call me and lead them into this ministry of reconciliation. This ministry of reconciliation is basically breaking down the wall that's between God and a certain person and saying God is there waiting for you to come to him. And restoring that relationship. And basically, he goes on to say exactly what it is. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him. He's not holding our sins against us at the moment. He's giving us grace and forgiveness to overcome that. And he's entrusting to us the message of reconciliation, it says. So he's trusting me. He's trusting Garrett. He's trusting anyone who is a believer to go out and lead somebody else to that same relationship, sharing that same information. And all it is saying, this is my experience with God, that he is a loving God, that you can trust him, that he does keep his promises. So can I believe that I am who God says I am? Can I believe that God is who he says he is? Can I believe and trust that God will do what he says he will do? And then I can move forward with him. He says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. And basically, he gives us the honor, the privilege, and the right to speak on his behalf. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Exactly. That's pretty amazing.
Then he concludes it with, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. Jesus Christ did not sin, but for our sake, he took on all the punishment of the sin on the cross. And he says he did that so that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. See, when we surrender to the Lord and he forgives our sins, we are covered with his righteousness. We become the righteousness of God, and we become part of the family of God. So there's just great things the Lord has for us in all that.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I showed in the lesson how both in creation and in our salvation, how the Trinity interacted with one another and with us. How basically things come from the Father. It all comes from the Father, just like we talked about those gifts and this relationship coming from the Father. This whole idea of our reconciliation and our salvation, our forgiveness comes from the Father of whom, and that the Son made it possible, that it's through Christ, through that relationship with Christ and surrendering to him as Lord and asking for that forgiveness. And then it's the Holy Spirit by whom that we have that forgiveness and the power to live the Christian life by the power of God through us, that's in the Holy Spirit living in us. So I think I laid out clearly how you could see that both in creation, and that may have been in a previous episode more clearly, but in this episode was through that act of salvation and coming to the Lord. And I think as we go through life and go through scripture, That is a pattern I see over and over, that all three are operating in things and they all have the one goal, the one purpose, the one thing, and that's the restoration of all things to God, the way it was created to be.
Well, and you know what's pretty cool about all this too, John, is that going through my other studies, you actually reconfirm the studies I'm going through there with the Bible itself and with the same thinking and break it down exactly the same way. So how do you know you're following the right thing? When you take it back to the Bible and it measures up to the Bible. If it doesn't fit or it doesn't measure up, you get rid of it. But this is the truth. And it's amazing that God made it this way so that he wanted to be in fellowship with us. So he gave us the ability to have that free will of ours to choose to go after him. That's what he wants. He doesn't want just some mindless automaton drones. So that's what even makes this even better, is that you have to make the choice. And I want to see everybody live their best life through Christ.
So we could go on and on about this and bring up other examples, but we encourage you to go to the website, look at the notes, ask the Holy Spirit what direction he wants to lead you in, guide you in, take you to your own study. We're here to contact. There's a contact form on the page. There's also an email address that Garrett leaves with you that you can contact me. But as you can tell, my voice is kind of laboring, and hey, it's New Year's. Go spend the day with your family. Relax. That's what I'm going to do. Have the family over for our delayed Christmas celebration. So before we leave, Garrett, will you please pray for those who are trying to search out the way the Trinity works in our lives and that they would receive new revelation from the Spirit?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come to you again at the end of this wonderful teaching today. And I just lift up those people who are searching this out, who need to hear this, who are Christians even, but have struggled with certain topics, especially this one with the understanding the Trinity and how it all works, and then being able to apply it, Lord. I just ask you use us to be able to help teach it the correct way, the right way, and that the people who need to hear it, Lord, and that they find a place to plug into and people to learn from that are truly living the way the Bible wants us to be living in, the way that you have put it together for us. Cutting out of all the religious nonsense and in this and just following the truth. I know for myself, it has been getting away from the traditional church because I was kind of confused and lost with certain aspects. But now you are bringing me things to light that I've never even thought of in my life, Lord. And my life has enhanced better and gotten better. So I just pray that for everybody who comes to this podcast. I ask that you continue protecting John and I as we go about doing these teachings, Lord. Just bring us the words to say and guide us through our steps. And let's all continue to apprentice each other in God's word. In your holy name, I pray that everybody has a wonderful and happy new year. And we look forward to connecting with those who need to reach out and have questions, concerns, or they want to give their life to Christ, or they're doing a recommitment, or they're trying to figure out how to better study. In your holy name, we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Garrett. And I look forward to continuing this adventure with you and see where the Lord leads us in the new year here.
Me too. I am excited. New year, new beginnings.
So join us next week on Being Disciples. Next time, we are taking a look at pursuing God. What does it mean to dwell with God in the secret place of the Most High? What is it to pursue God and to abide in God? Join us next time as we consider this and more on Being Disciples.
Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Being Disciples. The show is hosted on Podbean. You can find it at beingdisciples.podbean.com. Again, it's beingdisciples.podbean.com. There you can find all episodes of this podcast. There's also a Patreon button you can use to support this broadcast if you feel so moved. And we thank you. You can also find us on your favorite podcast platform. The notes and links for this show can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us, virtual study with us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. From the site, you can contact us if you would like to join a study group. If you have questions or comments for Pastor John, you can contact him by email at john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us. That's John, J-O-H-N, dot Anoka, A-N-O-K-A, at virtualstudywith.us, or through the contact form on the main page of the website. Please subscribe to this podcast and join us again next week as we learn more about being disciples.